It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. We haven't got, you know, SWAT teams yet. We got James Traficant in, and we're going to get the third rail Israel. You know, how do you get on top of the heap? How do you get on the list? How's the first thing that the big bad guys want to do? Shit you up. Well, you know, I got to explain it to Jim here. He's not internet savvy, man. He's like, no, no. They didn't have a lot of access in prison now, did they?
No, not really.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get Sierra to turn on the mic. There you go. Push the button. She's off getting the speech, putting it on to today's archive. James Traficant's U.S. bankruptcy speech in March of 1993. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and, before we get to that, which I want to get to, is I want to get, understand the second hour here, we have a base philosophy. My thing here is real simple. Everything that I operate from is I put my hand on your shoulder and I say, whose life is this? And your response is what?
It's my life.
Okay. Well, if it's your life, then I don't want anybody else telling me what to do with
it. That's the age-old argument, Ernie, and it comes down to this. The right of the individual and the right of society protect the individual from harm. And it's been a hell of a battle.
Wait a minute now.
That is the battle, whether or not we want to admit that, that's what it is. See, society says, look, you have your individual rights, but we have the right also to protect the individual from harm and others from harm from you. And it has been the collective process since time began, Ernie.
All right.
So I don't want to get into that.
No, I'm for personal
freedoms. But I think what we're all arguing about are these fringe points, and America is enslaved with a tax system that has destroyed us. And that's what I want to get to.
Okay.
America, let me say this before you get to your program. Here's the traffic and prediction. America will implode like the Soviet Union if we do not throw out the Internal Revenue Service and start rewarding labor and incentivize the workplace. And I'll get to that project and how we do that later. But I'm saying this, we are going to disintegrate like the Soviet Union did. All their missiles, all their KGB couldn't stop Humpty Dumpty from falling apart over there. And we're going to see it over here, Ernie.
Okay.
We're beginning to see the symptoms.
All right,
well,
Jim.
Don't overlap. I'm getting worked up.
That's good. We'll get to it. Because this is the one thing that I want to, you know, to be able to predict what someone would do in the future. You can look at what they've done in the past, and you can ask why and what revelations they've had, epiphanies. I learned something different. I spent some time in prison, which they are like torturing you, man. They put you
they
in a little
put
room.
They didn't put me in no
a,
country club, man.
They wanted you to suffer.
Listen, the first prison I was put in had over 50% of illegal immigrants, and one guy pulled me aside and he said, man, my mother's your biggest fan. We can't even do nothing with you. Everything's coming out of Washington. They want you to be hurt. They want you in a penitentiary. Next thing you know, I'm in a hole for about 6-7 months. Then, you know, I go to Lewisburg Penitentiary. I'm in the hole there. Then I'm at Raybrook Gladiator School. And you know what, Ernie? You know, everybody thought I was a murderer. They said, what are you in here for? I'm in here for murder. It was dangerous. See, they let those illegal immigrants know that I'm the congressman that passed putting troops on the border. And I have nothing against the Hispanic community. If you're a citizen, you're one of us. If you're in the country illegally, you should be thrown the hell out, and we should be on the border with our troops. It's a national security checkpoint. So I'm here. I'll tell you what. I want to commend Arizona. I want to commend men like you who stand up for Arizona and for those states.
Oh, no, no, no.
They're doing what they have to do.
I'm not a border guy, man.
Well, do what you got to do.
I'm not a border
Straighten
guy.
Straighten out here.
I'm a human guy. You know, so this is, so that's why I want to get into this. Because Jim has a principle by which he operates from, I'm just trying to find out what that is. So in the future, that we know what we can expect. You are for America.
I'm absolutely for America first.
Which is what, though?
Take care of our country. Stay out of foreign entanglements, like Washington advised us, and incentivize our place so we reward behavior. Right now, we don't. We're enslaving a massive society here in this country.
All right, we got about 4 minutes in this segment. Let's go ahead and start with this.
Man, your time goes fast.
Yeah, I told you you'd have
fun,
man.
All right, go ahead. Get on with it.
Now, this is the deal. If I got a way to predict what the future America is going to be, I can look at a couple of things. One, like you say, what's rewarded and what's punished. We're rewarding sloth and inactivity and dependency and ailment and all this
stuff. We're subsidizing it.
Oh, absolutely. Get more of it. You have, and you even mentioned, fatherless homes, you know.
Illegitimacy.
So then I'm going, okay, so what are we punishing? We punish productivity. We punish prosperity. We punish innovation. We punish hard work.
Harder you work, the more you get hit on the head.
Exactly. So now, from someone that a lot of people would consider, well, certainly ran as a Democrat, a little bit more progressive. You want to say, government to do right by the people.
I'm probably more
is.
Of a Republican than most Republicans were, quite frankly.
Hell, I can't tell what a Republican is.
Let me tell you, there's not much difference. They all posture, but they're not much
difference.
No, they
all want to rule me. They're the same as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And, and that's where I want to get to is, how much does Jim Traficant want to rule me?
I don't want to rule anybody, but I will tell you this. I want to get the government off our backs and off our ass. And the way you do that is you have a government that literally does come at us. We have an Internal Revenue Service that knows everything we do. There's no personal freedom at all. We have a voluntary compliance program that's so voluntary they'll seize your rubber ducky. Here's what I think has to be done in America. Very first thing. And when I say prediction, I don't have a magic crystal ball here, Ernie. I think Stevie Wonder can see this coming. We are developing armies on the street. Young men who are dependents. Dependent after dependent after dependent life cycles. We've got kids being born in big cities without education, on the street, trying to make a living, doing everything they can, angry. It's going to manifest itself in the catastrophe. But 53% of the eligible taxpayers pay an income tax. 47% are consumers. We become a welfare dependency socialist nation. There's no sense to it. We do not reward work.
We must reward
work and individual achievement, and we don't do that.
No, I understand, but I mean, it's so obvious. Was it done on purpose?
Well, I think so. I think it was done on purpose. Remember, the first income tax, Ernie, was only for the rich. Right. Now Congress is talking about more taxes increases, but only for the rich. Now, you believe that, we've got all kinds of rainwater out here in Phoenix.
We're just going to tax the top 1%. It's only going to be people that get some kind of government check. It's going to be, it's always.
Let's talk about that, Ernie. Just let me make this statement. One of the speeches that was featured around America more than anybody else's during that one budget debate was my speech when I said, wait a minute, Democrats. Now we're going to jump on the rich. My father was a truck driver, and here's what I said, Ernie. My father told me, Jimmy, I never worked for a poor guy. And I said, you keep jacking these guys around, they're not only going to take their jobs and factories out of the country, they're going to take their money. We should be incentivizing them to stay and reinvest their money. The reason they're leaving is they're not because they're not patriots, Ernie. They can't make a profit here.
No, I understand that.
They can't make a profit.
It's so
Our system, it got to be changed,
it's
Ernie.
So obvious. Is it done on purpose?
No, I just think they're so damn dumb they could throw themselves at the ground and miss, and you can't get enough of them to think about it, and you can't get enough Americans to come together on one core issue. The core issue should be our individual liberty, freedom, and that freedom should be to decide what we do with our money, and we should be rewarded for work, not penalized, Ernie. Very simple.
IRS.
Very simple.
Yes. Yep.
Out with those suckers.
Yeah, we agree on that. We'll be right back.
And another thing.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Oh man, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, these are songs from the 60s and 70s saying, yeah, we get it. We get it. What was their ability to communicate back then? It was music. It was the pop culture. Now it's the internet. Well, Jim Trafficant's in studio with me. We're having rip-roaring good time on and off the air. And I'll tell you, you know, when you're sitting in prison for a long time, plenty of time to think. Also, you have a lot of people that are the victims of government policies. There, they find out who you are. They want to come tell you their story, too. Lots of great stuff in there. But the one thing, you know, this foreclosure deal, before we forget about it, we wanted to give Jim an opportunity to give a little promo to a guy that's doing a lot of work on it. We've worked with a lot of people dealing with this foreclosure thing, and they're having an impact. Jim, go ahead and promote your guy.
Yeah, but first, just want to mention, I could have been out in 6 months. All I had to do was admit I was guilty. That's what they wanted, Ernie. And I told them to shove it up their ascot. And I did all the time. And if we have time, I'll explain what happened. I want to just take some time for the country and to your audience. First, I want to commend you for what you do. Second of all, there's a young man that I met out here in Phoenix. He's not an attorney, but he's had more success with curtailing foreclosures than anyone I met other than Mickey Paletta and the Citizen Reform Group up there around Harrisburg. This young man is Daryl Blomberg. He has been a pro se activist, and he has turned the foreclosure procedural law in and around targeting the banks. And Ernie, he's had an impact. He has stopped literally foreclosure in his track. It's going to require some legislative remedy. I see that coming. In fact, I am even concerned about this young man, Daryl Blomberg. And reason I'm telling you this, I know that what I've heard, you've had as many as 300-400 people out here on foreclosure issues, and you're probably, knowing you, I don't have to ask you this, knowing what you stand for, you want to help that foreclosure issue, because let's talk freedom, and if it's your home that's in trouble, we got to do something. This man, you should have him on. He can help people.
I'll bring him on. Yeah. I'm not sure to bringing these guys
on. All right,
on.
But now let me say
I want to say something about this foreclosure thing so you understand where my perspective is. My whole thing is this. Either we have the rule of law or we don't. And the law is, okay, you have a transfer of title and it goes this, and this guy has access to foreclose or he doesn't. And they go, well, that's inconvenient. And we didn't want to do that. And we did this, you know, computer transaction and we avoided this and the state's lost revenue. Not that I care, but, you know, that was the law. So it showed who was, you want the government to enforce a contract. Well, then you go through the mechanism by which the government can enforce the contract. So the thing is I'm going, all right, you do that. You go through the process, inconvenient, doesn't work, you don't like it, it's hard for you to do it, you lost the paperwork, life sucks, or you don't. And what that does is prove what I always say, either we're living under law or we're not. And they always go, well, Ernie, what are you, you're an anarchist, you don't want any government? I'm going, what do we have now? Now when you got the government sitting there supposed to do in something, it's people's homes, we're in foreclosure around the country, and you have a mechanism by which you can determine who has standing to foreclose, and you just bypass it. It doesn't count this time. We don't like it. It's inconvenient. It doesn't support what our friends want. And I'm going, neon flashing what I've been saying. When it comes down to it, you can't count on government to do what the promise is, defense of individual rights.
Nevertheless, Ernie, it's a contract. And both parties to the contract must maintain within the contractual procedures that which is salient to the issue itself. And what has happened, these banks have made quickie loans. A lot of it was fraudulent activities where they embellished the earning power of the borrower so they can grant the loan, knowing it would be a risk loan. Second of all, they took that loan, Ernie, Bank A, with no intention of servicing that loan. They took that loan for the sake of selling it, making their money on the sale of it. Now Bank B has your mortgage. Bank B takes it, bundles it with a few other ones, sells it to Bank C. You're in Phoenix and you have a mortgage being held by a company out of New Hampshire. The point I'm making is many of these lenders, for that quick buck in that so-called boom economy, they would take a good case. I'm going to name one right here. Part of the reason I'm down here. You have a woman by the name of Catherine Christensen. They made her income out to be $10,000. $14,000 a month, rather. She had a mortgage payment of $10,000 a month. Her income wasn't even $1,000 a month. But to get that loan and to make that mortgage, and when she realized what was happening and she couldn't handle the situation, and I don't want to talk too much, but the point I'm making is, there was a fraudulent act which led an American to be hurt. Now, I dealt with that with the Demenia case over there in Israel. This is no different. You see, the Catherine Christensens and everyone in this country where a fraudulent act has been perpetrated upon them, they should be made whole. And these banks, one thing I agree with Donald Trump on, let me tell you this. Donald Trump said we have bankruptcy laws. Let those damn banks go bankrupt like everybody else. And let the good banks take the bad banks over. And all we should be taking care of are those borrowers, those depositors who were really hurt. And I agree with the Donald on that. I don't agree with bailing out these banks. I don't agree with all this government debt with the stimulus crap. And I think these are the freedom issues. Our home, our liberty, our income. The opportunity to make income.
You know, my thing is, don't misunderstand me. My point is not to foreclose, not foreclose. It's not even the point. It's follow the law, and they're not.
The banks aren't following the law.
Of course not.
The people are following the law, but what's their recourse? Now, who lobbies the legislatures? The banks.
The money.
The money. You and I both know that. And I think this is another one of the problems. What the hell is really going on? Most politicians, like we talked on a break, Ernie, and I know you've run for office, and I know you haven't won, and I'm just going to say this.
I always win.
But listen to this.
That's my guy. Get the
These
most votes for
the computer.
These politicians,
the first thing they do is promulgate the strategy for their next reelection. And they go with the flow. They don't want to get the IRS mad. They don't want to get the FBI mad. They don't want to get the White House mad. While they're not making anybody mad, we're going to hell in a handbasket. Hey, I feel good about one thing. I told them all to go to hell. I treat everybody alike. That was the way it is. And we'll continue to do so. And I could have listened. I could have signed a form, asked for a pardon, said I was guilty. And Mike, I got all kind of pressure. What are you going to waste 7 years of your life for, Jim? 7.5 years. My wife, everybody begging me, sign it. I told him to shove the pardon up his ass, caught sideways. And I did all the time, Ernie. And they're going to pay before it's over. Because they wrongfully convicted an American who don't like these bastards. And I will... before it's over.
When we come back.
Get my pound of flesh.
It's going to be pound of flesh on the third rail. Israel, I'm sure. I've seen this go with Irwin Schiff on the IRS. Same thing. You start going after them. You start hitting them. You start making them hurt. They make you a project. They put you on top of the list. Jim Traficant, on top of the list. We're going to find out which list he's on when we come back here on Declare Your Independence.
They're on my list, Ernie. They're on my list.
There you go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Jim Traficant knows exactly what he's up against. It's the evil New World One government empire of. They, them, those. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave you alone. And Jim's one of the guys that just wanted to be left alone. And every time you doink him, just like a lot of a big segment of American society going, oh, I don't like to be doinked none too much. Now, one of the things that Jim Trafficant used to great advantage was the one-minute speech. Now, the way the rules are in the House of Representatives, a congressman, if you're saying anything, one, you're protected, you know, from any slander or libel. You can go up there and you can say black is white all you want, and there's not anything anybody can do about it to you personally. That doesn't mean they won't come after you, but, you know, there's no prosecution for that act. So a congressman is protected. He can say whatever he wants. The one-minute thing, he used a great use, and he's going to tell us about that a little bit. But he wants to tell me, Lorena Bobbitt, remember that? Kind of bobbed off her husband a little bit, you know? And his whole thing, he wants to give me a reason why he did the 1 minute. I have no idea. The only thing I remember about that, I didn't pay any attention, except that I remember a talk show host on some rock station or something. He just had one question that just made me cringe. He goes, I just want to know, did Lorena use a serrated knife? Well, go ahead and give me your 1 minute.
Let me give you a little background on the 1 minute. You know, when I was a new member of Congress, you get some of these bills down there. There are 60 minutes of debate, Ernie, and the Republicans get 30 minutes, the Democrats 30 minutes. And then you have pros and cons on both sides. So you might be for an issue on the Democrat side, and there's only 15 minutes allotted. So after all, there's 250 members. After all, the big shots open their mouths, you don't get a chance to speak. So I start using the 1 minute beforehand to speak on the salient issues of the day.
Okay, tell me what the 1 minute beforehand thing is. What's the rule?
Anybody can stand up and give a 1 minute speech. And you're limited to 1 minute on any subject you want. It's open forum. In fact, it got to the point where people used to write to me and give me things to talk about. You know, I developed sort of a cult following.
Okay, so you go up to the Speaker of the House and you say,
ask unanimous consent to address the House 1 minute, revise and extend my remarks. They usually have an opening while everybody's setting up legislation to give maybe 10 on each side or 15 on each side, sometimes as many as you want to give them. Depends on the schedule. But anyway, I would do it. I made a habit of doing it. And after a while, I spoke out on issues to help my area, no doubt about it, and issues that concern the country. But one thing I want to say to you, even though I was protected by the speech and debate clause, I never said anything on the House floor that I didn't say publicly. I never said something that wasn't true on the House floor. When I called Janet Reno a lesbian and said she should be removed, because she was compromised, owned by the mob in Florida, and in fact, she hands were tied for doing anything on that Clinton deal with China. I said that on the Novak show as well and could have been sued, and I said, Janet, go ahead and sue me. Maybe that's the only way we'll get your ashes in court. But now, so I usually had a message, so give me some background. They got to be sort of popular. And I come to my staff one day, this one week, and they said, we're getting overwhelmed with phone calls about Lorena Bobbitt. I said, what? Lorena Bobbitt. They want to know when you're going to speak about Lorena Bobbitt. They're waiting. And I sort of laughed. Now, Ernie, in seven...
Now, let me go ahead and tell the audience who Lorena Bobbitt was real quick.
Go ahead.
5 seconds. Lorena Bobbitt became famous because she was being abused by her husband, and he forced her into sex, I guess. And then she, while he was sleeping, she took a knife and cut his penis off. And then threw it, you know, out in the yard or something. They reattached and he started doing porn or something. I mean, that's all I know about it. So this is, you know, how that gets to a congressman 1 minute. We will find out. Go ahead.
Ernie, I'm getting all these calls. In 17 years, I never did a limerick, a little rhyme. I did one. I woke up with an idea and I decided to give it. And Ernie, when I started this speech, they were coming out of the cloakroom. This speech was faxed all over the world. So help me, God. I come out and I said, there once was a woman from Manassas who got tired of all the hassles, claiming she'd been raped by her spouse in her very own house, went to the kitchen to get a knife, fully prepared to take her husband's life. But realizing that such a crime is much too heinous, decided instead to cut off his painless. Now, Ernie, I used the word painless because I didn't want them to rule me out of order. They were so mesmerized, they wrote penis in a congressional record, and I let it in. And I closed out. I said, now, Mr. Speaker, I don't know if this man plays the piano, but from here on out, he'll sing like a soprano. But listen to this. Here's the punchline to Ernie. But if he really, really did rape his wife, maybe, just maybe, he deserved that knife. I then said I yield back any outstanding body parts still missing. And I got the hell out of there. This speech This speech, Ernie, was all over the country. But the bottom line was, listen to this. If he really, really did rape his wife, maybe, just maybe, he deserved that knife. And I agree that. There was a subliminal message in everything I said.
Well, go ahead and talk about some of the others. Let's give me a 1 minute on the IRS.
Well, I would more or less say, you know, I would cite and chronicle an issue and say Joe Jones from New Mexico was raided by three IRS agents. They had no warrant. They found him in the bathroom, and they confiscated his rubber ducky or whatever he did. I say, now, Mr. Speaker, I think it's time that we grab these IRS agents and handcuff them to a chain-link fence and flog them with their own tax code. When is it where, without a warrant, in the constitutional provisions assigned to government entities, they can come into one's home? I yield back my balance of my time and the actions and the crimes of the Internal Rectal Service. Believe me, I did one almost every week, Ernie. It got to the point where the IRS actually made a statement, one of their leaders on national TV, and said, we got a bad reputation because this guy, Jim Trafficking from Ohio, he's turning America against us. Literally. It was the best compliment I ever had, other than one compliment from Dan Rostenkowski, by the way. And I went on the floor the next day and I said, hey, listen, do I hear violins? Should we have a pity party for the Internal Rectal Service? Worthless bastards.
Okay, now let's give me a 1 minute on Israel, man.
Well,
only 1 minute?
1 minute I made on Israel, I remembered it made a lot of enemies. It was, I said, everybody saying that things are going to work out in the Middle East. I said, listen, when Yitzhak Rabin and King Fahd are both singing Onward Christian Soldier, there's going to be war in the Middle East, and America's going to be right in the middle of it. The other one I made that made a lot of enemies was the Palestinian children are God's children too. And I have nothing against Israel, but I believe that Israel is wrong, and America, by being wrong, is inviting terrorism and will import terrorism to our shores because of our one-sided policy in the Middle East. So not all of my little speeches were comedy. Some of them were relatively hard, Ernie.
Okay, before you really got targeted, okay?
I was targeted from 1983. When I beat the federal government and the IRS in 83, Ernie, they couldn't live with that.
Yeah,
Believe me, Ernie.
I said that wrong. I beg forgiveness. Let's talk about the final act of getting you in prison. What was your rhetoric in from, like, say, 98 to 2002? Certainly, you know, up before we hit 9/11, and what did you have to say after 9/11 that got them all angry with you?
Listen, the speech after 9/11, I mean, no one would even look me in the eye. I says, Congress has got to look in the mirror for 9/11. We are at fault. Our one-sided foreign policy, especially that in the Mideast, has now brought the violence of Mideast to our own doorstep. We are to blame. And America should heed the president, the first president, George Washington, and we should be staying out of foreign entanglements. I was called an anti-Semite because I brought Demjanjuk home, that a retired auto worker, and proved he was innocent. I was the number one target of American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. Now look, in the last 10 years, Ernie, they had four AIPAC agents arrested for spying on America. That's capital offense. None of them ever went to prison.
They right have, in the middle of it,
listen,
Jim Trafficant.
I also said they have a stranglehold on the American Congress, and they are going to, in fact, cause Third World War for us.
And he might be right. Now, this one, we'll get back. We're going to talk about Ron Paul.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I want to break free.
And everybody else, we just got to break free. Well, Jim Trafficant and I, we're having fun off the air, too. Now, you know, this is, I mean, you want to get him impassioned, man. You know, talking about Israel. Third rail, Israel. You know, my thing has always been, I've had him on from all sides. You know, the VP of the Zionist of America, whatever, mine, Charles Show, yo, bring it on. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Scott Steele, attorney here, and just give me everything you got to say about Israel and how it's the 51st state. How'd that happen? Foreign policy, foreign aid. What if I just go, you know what? I don't think anybody should get it. You know, of course they say, you know, Middle Eastern countries, a lot of the Arabic countries should get it. You know, well, what makes that different? Israel, well, that's different. How is that different? Why is that different? You know, is it my money? Is it going outside of our borders? Well, America's interest. Who gets to decide that? You know, and here's Mr. Jim Traficant, congressman from Ohio. For decades, he's down there, and he's going, let me tell you how it works. Well, tell me, James, how does it work?
Israel controls the Congress of the United States. Israel controls the press of the United States. Israel controls the money supply in the United States. I've been called an anti-Semite. I have nothing against Israel. But if something is not done, our nation is absolutely going to collapse. We're making enemies hand over fist. They can't, they don't have missiles. They can't attack us. So what do? They blow up our trade center. What's next? They're going to blow up the Lincoln Tunnel, Ernie? Come on. What's next? They're going to blow up the Hoover Dam?
Yeah, I've always said, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge, St. Louis Arch is toast, man. Whether it's a false flag or somebody else.
That Lincoln Tunnel would cause a lot of problems.
We keep doing what we're doing. This stuff keeps happening.
Yes, it does.
So I'm... What is it that we're doing that needs to stop?
I think the fact that we take sides and we become involved. First of all, those first two spies from Israel, APAC, American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, they were instrumental in putting us back into Iraq. The last two that were arrested, and they had a search warrant conducted on their headquarters, Ernie. Holder, the Attorney General, just let them free without a hearing. He said, well, they were spying, but they're spying for Israel, and they don't think they had any bad intent. Meanwhile, the guy from the Pentagon who they were using is still in federal prison. Now, here's what the last set of spies was doing, Ernie, to put us into war in Iran. Now, we're in two wars over there, questionable value. Our kids are coming back in body bags. We're bankrupt over these damn wars. For what? An expansionist policy of Israel. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and you could check it out. Ariel Sharon, the head honcho of Israel, was on a talk show like yours in Israel. And he was talking about the things they were going to do in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. And the host said, you know, there's some restrictions, you know, placed by America. Did you check this out with America? And I want you to listen to the quote. Quote, we, comma, the Jewish people, comma, control America. And America knows it.
It's not a secret.
You ever hear it on mainstream media? You won't. And let me tell you something. You say something about Israel and you won't be on mainstream media. That's how powerful they are. They control the film industry of the country, the radio industry of the country. Good quality talk show hosts. And let's look at them. I know a lot of the talk show hosts. One year, I think Rush Limbaugh used me on, I think, 50 times on his TV and radio shows, my speeches. And I like Rush Limbaugh, and I think he's done a great job. And I think you guys do a great job. You're educating America. But if a powerful radio or television figure questions Israel, they're gone. They're gone.
You know,
and I don't really see anybody questioning Israel. You tell me if I'm right or wrong now.
Oh, no, 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 no. You're very right.
I've been a producer
and a talk show host, and I know a lot of guys, they're like, man, you don't touch the third rail, Israel.
No.
So my thing was, I don't in the kind of sense like I'm after them. I just don't want to fund them. Can I keep my own money?
I agree with that.
I don't want to give it to anybody.
Does that
make me anti-Semitic?
Not only that. Support them when they're right, but when they're not right, don't support them. Don't give them a blanket protection.
I don't want anybody to support anybody with
Absolutely.
My money. I don't care if they are
we
right.
We shouldn't be involved with any of these countries.
You know what I want? I don't want them to
take care
IRS,
of our own country.
I don't want them to even take my
don't
money to
begin
with.
Up, Ernie.
And I don't care where they want to send it, what noble cause they got.
Yeah.
It's my money. Mine. Which brings me back to this one point before the end of the show. I got to ask you.
People who really need the money don't get it. They don't get it anyway.
When did you get out of prison? You got out September 09, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah, September 09.
Okay,
yeah.
September 09. Yeah. While you were in prison, was during all this Ron Paul Revolution thing. What did you think of that?
I like Ron Paul. I didn't think he had a ghost of a chance. I think if the people knew him and knew all about him, they'd have a better chance. They weren't going to let that happen. They didn't have the kind of money everybody else had, the two traditional parties. The only thing I could say about Ron is Ron needs a little more fire in his belly. You got to stand up to these sons of bitches and look them in the eye, Ernie. And Ron's going to do
that.
You just can't be a nice guy in his business. You got to go at him. Let me just say this. Everybody's stunned with Obama. No one's even asked me about this. The real inside crew, the power money, Israel and the power money in this country, did not want Obama. They wanted Hillary Clinton. And they made sure Gore and Kerry didn't run because they were threats. And then Edwards, he helped hurt himself, but they made sure he was gone. And the truth of the matter is they thought, there's no way this black guy is going to beat our girl. We're going to get Hillary. Let's get George Bush to go into Iran so Hillary don't carry the burden of Iran. She could prosecute it and say, hey, we're there. I got to protect the troops. And Bush finally wised up and said enough is enough, and he didn't go into Iran. And, man, it backfired. Hillary didn't get elected, did she? And they end up with Obama. Now, let me tell you something. And I'm not even going to get into that about Obama, but I'm going to say this. You do not grow an economy through new and expanded debt. America is a managed debt economy nation. And Ernie, I'm going to say this on your show. America right now is a non-sustainable managed debt economy nation, and we're going to implode. We're going to implode until we energize and incentivize, throw that tax code the hell out, reward people for working, let them take their whole money home. Let them decide what to do with it.
Let me ask you a couple of things. One,
you're asking a lot of questions, you know.
Yeah, good.
What is this, a question and answer show?
Yeah, and you have to answer, okay?
All right, okay.
Which means you got to listen to questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, two things. One, you have faith in this electoral process or not?
No.
Okay, so I mean, election fraud, their dials
get turned. You'd have never heard of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson's first campaign for Congress, he got beat by 5,000 votes. They bribed about five of those those little counties down there in Texas, and they had a recount, and he ended up winning by 20,000 votes.
All right, so you got big.
And it doesn't change.
Not a big giant faith in.
No, none at all.
Okay, now let's go ahead and talk about Obama. I rarely talk about Obama because
what's
the difference? You know, you get rid of him, it's like looking down a train track, man. There's one right after another. So, I mean, what difference is the United States as it's constituted now? The United States Constitution, the United States Inc., United States, whatever this thing is with all its debt and entitlements and all that, is it salvageable? I mean, can it even be safe? Should we even try?
Was it Oklahoma and Georgia that had bills presented to their state legislature that said, look, Washington, we will collect the federal tax, but we will not send it to Washington. We're going to use it in the state of Oklahoma and Georgia. Now, it didn't pass, but I see it coming. I see states saying we're tired of sending our money to Washington, seeing it going to New York City, Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, Detroit. We're tired of it, folks, and we want to use that money here. I also see people saying we're tired of suppressive income tax. Why do you tax our labor? It's the last thing our founders wanted. They didn't want to tax our labor. This is the issue of freedom now. We're talking freedom here.
That'll make you a slave.
This is the issue of freedom. We are not free if we are our soul is owned by the company store. And right now, the company store is in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to bring up is that what I didn't know is if you ran for federal office at Congress, U.S. Senate, President, you can be a convicted felon.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so as a convicted felon, you know, are you eligible? Well, you're eligible to run.
I did run. I had no money. I think I raised $50, and I was the highest
voter. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Are you going to run this time?
I don't know. Yep. I don't know what
so
I'm
going to
do.
So what's your tour for?
I'm not. People invite me, and you know what? I make some sense when I talk, and I've decided that people invite me, I'm going to let them hear me. And I'm going to, listen, let me say one other thing. I'm going to go after these bastards with my last breath. The Internal Revenue Service and that powerful monopoly in Washington that has destroyed lives. And I'm not afraid of them. And I'm not afraid of going back to prison. In fact, it turned into art school. Some of my paintings were selling for
$5,000. $5,000 paintings! And you get to see Jim Traficant tomorrow at the Hometown Buffet, 1312 North Scottsdale Road, 6 p.m., one block south of McDowell on South Scottsdale Road.
I promise not to swear.
Then what fun is it?
There you go.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ernie.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.